Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. The Biden administration has words and only words and contradictory words at that when it comes to a ceasefire. We are told aid must enter Gaza. At the same time, arms flow into Israel to hinder the same aid. Crosstalking Palestine, I'm joined by my guest Lionel in New York. He is a legal and media analyst. And in London, we have Adriel Consanta. He is the founder of AK Consulting and a foreign affairs analyst. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Lionel, let me go to you first. You've been very kind to be my first chair for many months now. That's how long this conflict has been going on. It's not really a conflict. It's really kind of one-sided. It's a military against civilians. At least that's how I read it. The civilians, mostly women and children. My question to you, Lionel, are you surprised that Joe Biden has accomplished what no other president in American history has been able to achieve? He has basically, essentially got the entire world to have loathing for the United States for its inaction and action, actions when it comes to Gaza. Your thoughts, my friend.
Well, a couple of things. First, I told you that before that my contribution should be parenthetically called a view from the fishbowl. Now, what you're saying is most appropriate around the world. However, in the United States, in my country, nobody knows anything about this. They know more about Ukraine than this. I must start off with, I think, the most pivotal news that I'm seeing this week. Apparently, you know, Peter, we have this thing called the N-word. We all know what that is. But we acknowledge what the N is. There's a G word here. There's genocide, and nobody will even approximate it. Recently, AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was asked, one of the most liberal members of the most liberal progressive factions of the American Congress, was asked, will you acknowledge this as being genocide? And you would have thought, first of all, it wasn't that she refused to recognize the term. It's like she didn't know what it was. And this is where we are. I just want to say something very quickly as a lawyer. Two particular acts, an act or acts that target a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group, that's number one. And number two, act or acts that seek to destroy all or part of it. One of the reasons why a lot of countries, in particular, not just the U.S., hate this is that the mere definition of war oftentimes involves this. So if we become too familiar with this term, if we become too facile, if you will, with the application of genocide, it's going to apply elsewhere. So you have a kind of a definitional war going on here. And that, I think, is one of the critical aspects. But yet, that volume is turned up daily here in the U.S.
Well, Lionel, it's very interesting that you say that, because the title of this program is Murder in Gaza. My original title was Normalizing Genocide, the exact reason that you have presented to our audience here. Consanta, let me go to you in London. Is it any better in the U.K.? Can you say the G word?
Not really. As we can see with the victory of Mr. George Galloway that took place last week, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, in quite extraordinary manner, took his way to gave a speech in the front of Number 10 by condemning George Galloway for instigating divisions in the country. But really what the victory of Mr. Galloway says is that the people, the majority of the people, not only Muslims, because the Tory party is trying to portray this as a Muslim conflict. We have to bear in mind that in Palestine, people are also Christians.
Yes.
And on many occasions, the churches in Palestine were asking the churches in the West to raise the voice and condemn what the Israel is doing. But here in the UK, I have to say it, and sorry for being just blunt about it, the Israeli lobby and the Zionists in the government and the media is trying to portray, to paint this conflict as a Muslim backlash against the status quo, because the Labour Party was outmaneuvered by the George Galloway in Rochdale and also conservatives. Not because the Muslims are voting in this way, because the majority of the people who are sweeping and going to the streets in protest, peaceful protest against what they see, against the G word, which is genocide, are highly concerned. And it is striking to me that most of the Tory party members can't say or do anything about it. They don't even mention the fact that it is not only about the Muslim population, but also about the Christians. And they are refraining from any words of condemnation towards Israel. So what does it say about the condition of the democracy, yep, about the cherished values in the West of human rights?
That's right.
And even when most of the right wingers and conservatives who I used to hold in the great esteem, being pro-life and being Christian, where are this, Christian and pro-life values being applied equally to each and every person?
Yeah, it's absolutely right.
I don't see it.
It's patently obvious what they're doing here. They're hypocrites, okay? That's what they are. You know, Lionel, Bernie Sanders said, if I remember correctly, he felt uncomfortable about using the word. Well, we should all feel uncomfortable about it, okay? And we should stop it, all right? That's what's really pathetic about it. Lionel, moving on. I'm sure you saw it on the news with great fanfare. The Biden administration ordered the dropping of aid over Gaza, 33,000 prepared meals. I saw that and I felt ashamed and horrified. Lionel.
First, I looked at this, I'm thinking, does this look like we're helping or that we're trying to creep past the barricades? We're going to be dropping what, drones next, like a pizza delivery here? I mean, this is the way we, delivering hope. I've got to ask something. The hardest part, by the way, about your show, Peter, is in listening to this, I'm thinking 50 different issues every time one of your learned guests says something. First of all, look at why this particular issue is so different to Americans. Number one, it deals with the nation of Israel, state of Israel. It deals a little bit, dare I say, with religion. This really isn't about religion.
No, it's about what's right and wrong and who an oppressor, right, and people that are being oppressed. That's the short of it. Go ahead.
But I'm explaining the mindset. So a lot of Americans say, oh, there go those crazy, because we've been told for the longest time that when it comes to especially the Arab-Muslim terrorist kind of an interplay, these people are living in the fourth century, and there they go again. And then there's this idea that, oh, well, that's the way it is. And the Americans don't know the level of involvement that we are in. Ukraine is one thing because the word billions are there because there's a money aspect to it. And just look at the case of Aaron Bushnell, not to bring that up again, but Americans looked at that and were told by people basically in what used to be called the mainstream media, oh, some lunatic, crazy suicide. So Americans look at this as that, well, not boys will be boys, but you know how they are there. What are you going to do? And that's it. And they move on. They have no idea of the complexity of this. I keep telling people, do you think that the troubles in Ireland were between Catholics and Protestants? That's the name you gave. It was about land. It was about sovereignty. It was about right and wrong. It was about human. For some reason, this blood-brain barrier has not been traversed.
Well, Lionel, that's all intentional. I mean, you and I grew up, and the Israel-Palestine issue was never contextualized, okay? It was Leon Uris. That's what we were fed. That was the line, and it's still there, actually. I think it's a bit different, though, in the U.K., and I'm glad you brought up the election of Galloway, because you do have you have communities in the U.K. that feel very, very strongly about this issue in Gaza. In the United States, you can have Michigan and you have other states, but in the U.K., there's a higher intensity. Go ahead, in London.
Indeed, it is a higher intensity, but I wouldn't say that it is only associated with the Muslim population. I mean, I'm quite disappointed that Mr. Nigel Farage painted this as a Muslim problem, but it is not. Also, most of the right-wing, so-called right-wing commentators try to portray this as a gesture of wokeism. No, many conservatives and Christians whom I know are outraged and would be outraged if it would happen somewhere else. This is about humanity and dignity. And if I'm a person I'm a person who believes in God, and I'm not ashamed or afraid to say it, I would apply this rule equally. But if we try to only for the political gains, because most of the parties, I mean, this is we living in a cartel party system. It is a cartel party system where which of these parties are, they are sharing the resources, not competing for the resources, and at the same manner, they are effectively conspiring to protect their collective interests. So going back to George Galloway, he just voiced the sentiment within the broad spectrum of many communities. And that's why the outrageous and huge backlash, both from the left and from the right.
Yep.
So if you can see a backlash coming from each and every angle, this man has to say something, which is good or which is truthful. If he's being attacked by the government, I mean, Rochdale, it is just marginal place in the north west part of England, but how it comes that the Prime Minister feels compelled.
Yes, but you know, right before we go to the break here, you're absolutely right. It's, but because most of us and the elites don't want to recognize it, most of us are politically homeless. That's why George Galloway happened last week, because most people feel politically homeless and marginalized. Gentlemen, I have to jump in here. We're going to go to a short break, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on Palestine. Stay with RT. Welcome back to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter LaBelle. To remind you, we're discussing Palestine. Okay, let's go back to Lionel in New York. I know that most of the mainstream legacy corporate, you and I have argued about the term over the years, but it's all intentionally dumbed down by dumb people expecting their audience to be dumber than they are, which they're not, okay? As I said at the end of the first part of our program, most people are alienated by the elites that rule over them, and I don't care what party it is. I mean, I have just as much loathing for the main parties in the United States and the same thing in the UK. And George Galloway is a wonderful breath of fresh air, but he's one man. But who knows? Looking at the media in the United States, let's bring up like CNN, Israeli invasion of Rafah would be a catastrophe. Well, yeah, it would be. But why isn't something being done to stop it? See, that's what I find so revolting, is that they show us a genocide in real time, but we're all helpless. Israel's a sovereign country. Well, since when has the United States respected the sovereignty of foreign countries? Lionel.
Peter, you made a great term about being politically homeless. I've used the term of political atheist. And as Balzac said, I always tell people, I'm with the opposition. whoever you are, I'm with the opposition. But I want to add a new concept, and I ask my friends and colleagues, think of yourself as being politically instrument rated. You're a pilot. I'm looking at this. I don't know. Party A, country A, is doing this. I don't know who it is. Could be France, could be whatever. To this group, don't know who this is. And I'm saying, oh, that's terrible. That is, let me see, according to Ortega, that's genocide under the laws. Okay, you then look up and you think, oh my God, it's Israel. Forget what I said. I changed my mind because I'm telling people, if this were France, no problem. If this were Russia, no problem. It's this selective outrage. And Peter, you and I are from the generation where our left and right were pretty defined.
Yep.
You know, left was out, you know, was anti-war. And I always thought of myself as kind of being like the prototypical Thomas Jefferson liberal. But I didn't change. The parties changed.
They changed. Right. Exactly. I haven't left anything. They left me.
Precisely. It's like the left-right paradigm is an illusion. It's two sides of the same coin. And now, for reasons I do not understand, and I can't grasp this, why is this so different? And what happens is, you know what happens, if you were to say something. See, in the old days, if you said something negative, you would be a conspiracy theorist, and you were a nut and a kook, and that's what they're going to lay on George Galloway. He's a nut. They're going to pull back everything he's ever said in a thought, in a tweet, in a message, and they're going to portray him as this hat-wearing lunatic who represents this front. Watch what happens. I mean, the script
is written. Well, that's a really good point. I mean, I saw, let's go back to our guest in London, Adriel. Yes. I mean, you know, I saw the after-election interview with, I think maybe it was a Sky person, I'm not sure. I think it's gotten viral.
Yes,
I think it's like 20 million views right now. You know, I've been called all sorts of names. You know what? I don't care anymore. I don't, you know, because the people that call me names, I have no respect for, so I don't care what they have to say. And George Galloway, I mean, you know, he's got a very thick skin, and he's actually very, very smart, and he's one of the last of his generation that can actually speak to a public in a coherent and pleasing way. I love listening to him. But, you know, they're going to do everything they can to attack him, and so what? Adriel, go ahead.
Yes, that's true. I mean, as I said before, I mean, it's a concentrated attack from both sides. But what to say about it? I mean, I don't want to, you know, sound, you know, very prophetic here, but I think that George Galloway is the last hope for this country when it comes to gathering people from all sorts of spectrum, from the true right, from the true left, who deeply care about the for the values that this country is supposed to be representing and this nation is supposed to be representing, to upheld the so-called Western values.
Yeah.
I mean, the Christian and Western values. And I do not believe in labeling anymore George Galloway as a leftist, because if you look at what he's saying, I mean, he from day one, he was pro-Brexit. He believes in strong family. He knows who the real woman is, so he doesn't have this woke LGBT agenda in his mind, and he believes in strong communities, and he's against, you know, grooming gangs, which has, you know, in some parts of this country are doing horrendous things to the young girls. So I do believe that he might be a spark that will start something bigger, and I hope that people will understand
what
this is not about the left and right. This is not.
What is there not to like in what you just said? what's not to like? I don't get it. You know, Lionel, I know George Galloway. I've met him a number of times. He's been on this program a number of times. I've been on his podcast. He's been on my podcast. And I'll spell it out. He's socially conservative. So am I. Okay, economic. He's conservative in social values, in cultural values, and he believes the state should be able to serve the people. I don't know what's hard to understand about that. Okay, but if you don't get on the woke agenda or the culture wars, then you're put into a box. He refuses to do that. I refuse to do that. I know you, Lionel, well enough. You refuse to have that done, and I think Adriel as well. And I think that's why people watch this program, Lionel.
Well, Peter, there you go again, infusing logic you know, thinking, there you go. You just never learn, do you? You know, remember what happened? There's the eponymous, I guess, when you've been Finkelsteined. Remember this guy who basically was ground into pumice.
Yep.
He didn't even exist. And then all of a sudden, I told a friend of mine, lovingly, he's like herpes. He just flares up again. He's like, I thought we took care of that. Here he comes. You know, every time there's an argument, every time there's something like this, these are beta tests. These are the opposition to see what can we do that works. Because like sometimes back, you know, we become bacteria resistant or antibiotic resistant. Every time this happens and we don't fight back as to the truth, not to sides, but as to the truth, then the opposition, whatever that is, becomes stronger and more resilient. And every time something like this happens, remember, our mainstream media, gentlemen, are dying. They're hanging on by a thread, and they're going to do nothing to in any way sacrifice what's left of corporate support. So they're going to be repeaters, not reporters, and proxies for whoever's in charge. Yeah. So let's just move them out of the way. But what we're seeing is a complete and total, I hope, extinction of this left-right paradigm, because this doesn't exist. I told you before, Peter, that I've got friends of mine who are prototypical leftist Upper West Side Jews who now have to go to Fox News to find some kind of solace. And I've got the left, like Rachel Maddow and others, who want to go to war with everybody. I'm thinking, wait a minute, have I been in a fog? I'm from the 60s. Who are these people?
Well,
when did they change
Lionel,
the rules?
I think what it gets down to, I agree with you, and I've given up on this left-right paradigm a long time ago. It doesn't make any sense to me. It intentionally tries to divide people, which I refuse to do that. When Jimmy Dore and Tucker Carlson can sit down and have a great conversation, that gives me a little bit of hope, okay? But, you know, it's all about the donors. They're the ones that determine the message and the narrative, and we have to get away from that. Very, very difficult. That's why we have to have people like George Galloway and even Norman Finkelstein. Adriel, you mentioned something that I think is really interesting, is that in Western media, legacy media, they try to portray this as some kind of civilizational war. You know, we're civilized and then everyone else are barbarians. You know, the Burrell thing here. But what you said is absolutely right. If it's all about that, then we're the ones that are the barbarians. The West.
Well, unfortunately, we are. Yes, because we have been desensitized by the media, who, as rightly other commentator said, peddling the and working in the interests not of the public, but of their donors and supporters and stakeholders. So, unfortunately, the society has been desensitized. But something like the victory of George Galloway is a wake-up call for resistance of many people from different spectrums, from political atheists, for leftists, for right-wingers, for people who truly care to not lose our soul and sanity. Because it is all about, you know, being humane in any shape or form. As you've mentioned, I really appreciate when people from different, you know, political spectrums can sit down and have a discussion. This is all about the society and the cohesion, because otherwise we will be just divided and ruled. This is what the people, especially here, the unelected Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, did by firing a shot aimed at George Galloway with his speech. He is the divider, not George Galloway, but because George Galloway is the person who's trying to bring people from all spectrums to fight for the country and fight for what is right. And I'm with him.
Yes, you know, Lionel, I can remember a few years ago I had a guest on. She was a Democrat, and she's all about diversity. We're all about diversity. And I replied to her, and she had no answer for me. I said, well, what about unity?
Yeah. Or equality. You know, there needs to be something right now. And gentlemen, I don't want to be a Cassandra or I guess a false prophet or a bad news bearer. But let's see what happens for those people who come up to support George Galloway. This is, you need an I am Spartacus moment right now. If he is this lone voice this radical who comes forward and they say, oh, isn't that pleasant? Or you have people in the UK petrified to dare even nod in agreement, then all of this is for naught. That will do nothing, again, but toughen the resistance. And the gentleman said a very good point. We have become not only desensitized, we have been habituated and conditioned not only to look the other way or not to react to violence,
that's right,
but we have this almost like this political or this Gaza fatigue. And I hate to say that.
No, there's something to that, Lionel. Unfortunately, there is something to that. And it's something that we'll probably talk about next week. But we'll end on this positive note. These people in power are petrified. That's a good first step. We know we're going in the right direction. That's all the time we have. Fascinating discussion. I want to thank my guests in New York and in London. And of course, I want to thank our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time. Remember, Crosstalk Rules.